Gospel. What did I say? The empowerment of the gospel. Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13, we can read that of it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. How many things can we do? All things, but we do them through who? Through Christ. How many things can we do? But we do them through who? Through Christ. You need to underline that in your Bible if you haven't. That you can do all things only through Christ. You can't do anything that is useful that is not done through Jesus Christ. So we're talking about the empowerment of the gospel. We've been trying to bring out some important facts about the gospel, which hasn't been taught in the body of Christ and which many people do not know. And it's robbing us of our blessings big time. And the enemy is using it to mess us up. And that's the idea of the gift of righteousness. I've taught it, illustrated it the best I can. I want yesterday or 2 days ago, the Lord said to me, he said, you see, what you are trying to do is what you cannot do. He said, you want to illustrate it in such a way they can see it. He said, no, I'm the only one who can reveal it to them. He said, you just go and teach it and go away. But I thank God that people are beginning to understand it. Praise the Lord. I had a phone call as far away from Lagos, how it has transformed people's lives, listening to this very thing that we preach here. Those things encourage me, and I'm not talking of people here who have come to me and told me how their life has been impacted. And yesterday we spent quite some time with some people here talking about how even their prayer life has been impacted by that singular truth. So we're moving on to teaching on the empowerment that we have in the gospel. The gospel gives us three broad things. Number one is forgiveness of sins. Number two, what? You forgive this fast? Number two, what? Number three, what? Empowerment. Number one is what? Forgiveness of sin. It's a fundamental teaching of the gospel. If anybody preaches the gospel, does not preach forgiveness of sins, he doesn't know what's talking about. Because that's why the blood was shed, for the sins of the whole world. You know, sometimes we have this problem that we think that God is like us. So we try to evaluate God in terms of the wickedness of human heart. So we tell a man that God forgives sins, he frowns. Because naturally we don't forgive sin. So we think that God is what? Like us. And we think it's foolishness to do stuff like that. But God is not a man. And it's not like that, like us. Let me hear amen. So we're talking of empowerment. We have three broad ways that God has empowered us by the gospel. Number one is the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Empowers us to do things. It empowers us what? To do things. It enables us to do things beyond our human ability. It enables us to live the life of God. And may you do understand that the life of God is not the life that a man can live on his own, because it's not your life. It's the life of who? Of God. If it is something anybody can live, then we don't need Christ to live it. But Jesus said, I've come that you have what? Life. So it's not just something you live because you're a human being. It's something you live only through Christ. Remember we said we can do all things through Christ. So this empowerment by the Spirit of God within is empowerment to be able to live this life of God, which is not our own type of life. It empowers us to do things beyond our natural ability. For instance, you do know that patience is not a natural thing. You think it's natural, but check your life and know how far you go. But you know that long-suffering is not a natural thing. You know that love is not a natural thing. I'm not talking of human love. I'm talking of God's kind of love that loves your enemy. It's not a natural thing. Those are the things only God can do by Spirit. Then number two is the delegated authority. Now, by the time we study it, you know why this authority is delegated. Is delegated authority in the name of Jesus given to us as Christians to keep demonic spirits who are rampaging everywhere in check and to change circumstances in line with the will of God. To bring circumstances into line with the will of God. But it's not given to us to control human beings. Let me say it again. There is no authority any God has given any human being to control another what? Human being. No. But this is a little different from the authority that God has given his kingdom so that there is orderliness. The other day I was talking about the orderliness in the family, because God is a God of order. And without authority structure, there'll be disorder. So in the family, God has put the man, the head of what? The woman. And then in the church, God has put authorities in the church. And then in the civil government, God has put what? Also what? Authorities. And God told us to obey those that are in authority over us. And there's a pastor that shared a testimony that the thing surprised me. His church was not doing well at all. And then he went to God to ask. And the Lord told him that the authority of the city, you don't respect them. He said, that's the reason that you don't see my move in your church. He said, I don't work with rebellious people. He said, rebellion is a product of pride. So you don't respect the authority of the city, so your church is going down. And then they repented and went to the city and began to submit to the authority of the city, to work with the city, and the church blossomed again. See, the scripture, when you read that Bible is not written for you. Everything God says there is absolute truth. Amen? He said, put yourself under what? Authority. It's humility to do that. And by the time we teach about spiritual authority, you will see that one of the major reasons that Christians don't exercise authority is pride. I will show it to you by the grace of God, that pride will stop you. You will not be able to exercise spiritual authority when you are in pride. It's not going to happen. Because God resists the proud, not promote them. So it's not going to happen. So this is a different authority from the authority we have given in the name of Jesus to check the devil, to cast out demons, and the authority we have been given to change things, to demand that things happen in the name of Jesus, and things happen, but all of them in line with the will of who? Of God. Because you see, that's divine authority. So you cannot use it contrary to his will, because it's not your authority. Now, while we are at it, let me say that all the power of God, church, I want you to listen very well. All the power of God and all the authority of God belongs to God. They don't belong to any of us. Let me say it again. All the power of God and all the authority of God belongs to who? They don't belong to any man. You don't own anything. You don't own nothing. It's just that God, it is his spirit that's manifesting these things and not us. So the third empowerment is through the blessings God has bestowed us with, spiritual gifts, physical blessings, spiritual abilities, natural abilities that God has bestowed upon us by the Spirit acting upon us and by the Spirit using us, acting among us. You know, all this empowerment, financial empowerment, is for you to be a blessing for others. It's not for you to accumulate. It's to be a blessing to somebody else. Physical ability. The Bible said, as much as God has given you ability, you should use it for the edification of the church. You use it for the blessing of others. You don't hurt it. So in these three things that God has empowered us, and I said broad ways, because you can really go into this lessons and find some other things that we have therein. So these broad ways that God has empowered us, number one is the power of the Holy Spirit within. Number two is the delegated authority that is given you in the name of Jesus. And with that authority, you can cast out devils, you can resist evil, you can demand that circumstances change. And then there is empowerment through the blessings of God, physical blessings you have, physical abilities, spiritual abilities, gift of the Spirit that you have, that the Bible says it is given for all to benefit from. Those are the empowerments that God has given us in Christ. But tonight, I want us to focus on the empowerment of the power within us. What did I say we're focusing on? How many are here? How many of you heard me? What did I say? I want you to say it louder, please. What did I say? The empowerment of the power within us. And I told you at the beginning that the power within is to do things. The power within is what? To do things. I want you to say it with me. The power within is to do things. Say it louder. The power within is to do things. And then I was telling you that the power of God does not belong to any man. I've told you in this church, don't you ever think there's a man that is a depository, that God has handed over his power and the man is using it whenever he likes. It's not true. It's absolutely not true. If God uses doctor to do anything, he's not doctor, he's God. He only used him. And he will use him when God wants to use him. God, doctor can't sit down and people line up and say, nah, he carried the power. So anybody that comes, he will say abracabra and do this, the power moves. Power is moving all the time. No, the Bible says this power is used as the Spirit wills. When God what? Wants. Because the primary way that God wants us to live our life is not by that power, really. In a way, is that the just shall live by his what? His faith. He still wants us to study the Bible and to know him and to be mature and to be strong. How do we preach the gospel if we are dependent on one man that will do everything for us? We won't grow. We won't take responsibility. In the world that is becoming more hostile, then people can't stand when they're being opposed by their faith. They can't stand. And your character will not develop. So God really primarily wants us to live by the word of God. The Bible says we shall live by every word that proceeded what? Out of the mouth of God. That's a primary thing for God. But these other giftings of God, that power of God and things, is what uses to augment things. They're not the primary thing. So there's no man that sees that carrying the power, going around and say, I have the power. You don't have anything. God uses you when he wants. You don't have it. Look at Psalm 62 verse 11. God has spoken plainly, and I've heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to you. Psalm 62 verse 11. Let's read it. God has spoken once, twice. Have I heard this? That power belongs to God. It's God's property. Look, if I have, this is my iPad. If I give it to my auntie here, it's not her own. It is still what? My own. And as long as it's my own, it's under my control. So I can take it from her and say, auntie, thank you. And if God gives you his power and hands over his power to you, you become God. And you can misuse it. Because then you can heal those you like, and those you don't like, you won't heal them. But God will heal both those you like and those under your nose. Because you don't control God and tell him who to heal and not whom not to heal. I sent some video to some of you, you know, about a pastor that went to pray for one of his members. He thought he wasn't a good Christian. And he planned that after I prayed for him, let me just go home. Then I'll come back and sit down and teach him that he's not a good Christian. So that when he now repents, I will now pray for him. He came back and the man wasn't in the house. I asked the wife, he said, where's your husband? He said, the man is up there doing roof. Few minutes ago, the man was paralyzed. This is a real story. Totally paralyzed and couldn't talk. And this man is up in the roof carrying shingles. And the pastor said to the wife, what did you say? He said, he's out there carrying shingles. So the pastor went to see. He couldn't believe his eyes. You know what the man told him? He said, Rev, he said, the Lord is merciful. He healed me. He said, I trusted in his mercy. He just healed me. He said, I'm up here walking. He said, how deep, Rev? Praise the Lord. Because anybody that appears to the mercy of God, we get something from God. It's a standard thing. Praise the Lord. So power belongeth unto God, please. Let's understand that. It doesn't belong to me. Doesn't belong to you. And all of you following men around is because you are a baby. You don't know much. That's why you follow human beings around. Follow Jesus. Follow who? Jesus. Let the Spirit of God guide you in your life. So power belongs to God. So the power that is in us enables us to do things, to live this life that is beyond our natural ability. So we say we can do all things through Christ. And then Psalm 50, 27, you don't have to open it. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. That is the strength that powers my life. And our Lord Jesus Christ made it clear to us that he is the one that produces this life. It is his Spirit within us that produces this life. It's all over the Bible. In John 15, verse 5. John 15, verse 5. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't produce anything. I can't produce anything. You can't live this Christian life without Christ. I need to hammer this over and over and over and over. Because a lot of Christians are destroying themselves, trying to produce only what God can produce. I used to be in that kind of deceit. I used to be there. In fact, my wife used to tell me, honey, can I tell the story? You know I love you too much, so let me tell you story. My wife said to me, he said, I used to pray every day that Jesus will come. He said, because every day I'm carrying burden on my head. He said, the burden of being a Christian was crushing me. Am I right? Yeah. He said, every day I'll be saying, Jesus, please come. Please. Until she understood that she was not supposed to produce what she's trying to produce. It is beyond her ability to do that. So she let it go. Look at how beautiful she is. Amen? So, those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. 6, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown out, thrown away like a useless branch, and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. Philippians 1:11, New Living Translation. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by who? By who? Church, by who? Church, come on, by who? Who produces it? Who produces it? So you produce it, right? He produces it. He is the one that produces in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. When you have a vine and have a branch of a vine, is it the branch that produces the fruit or the vine that produces it through the branch? Answer me. Is it the vine or the branch? The vine supplies everything. Supplies everything. It brings the sap and puts it up to the branch there. And listen to me, if the vine doesn't hold the branch is gone. The branch on its own has no strength, has no power, nothing. If you cut it off from the vine, it is firewood. And its protection and everything depends on the strength of the vine. And so this is all over the Bible. I don't know how we can miss it. And Paul teaches this in Galatians 5:19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger. Did we see that? Is it there? You're not talking. I'm right in your backyard. Outbursts of what? Anger. Let me pause a while. I don't know how many Christians who are not giving to anger. I don't know how many. I just have no idea. I don't know how many men who don't shout at their wives one word or the other. I don't know. How many men who are patient with their wives and the woman can feel free to say her mind, even be stupid. I don't know how many men who do that. I don't know how many men who snap at their wives. Outburst of anger. Are you the only one here? How many times will you do this? Do you think I'm a bank? Cut it. I told you a story of a brother. They said he went to church. He was singing too much. They were singing, there is no mountain we cannot. There's no mountain we cannot cross. And when I say we, I say Jesus. And I was singing, when I have Jesus right in my life, there's no mountain we can. Then he went from his chair straight in front, was dancing. There's no mountain, so everybody gave him chance. And after singing mountain, he got into his car to go home. And the wife said, you know your boy needs a new shoe. He said, am I back? So they said, he didn't need mountain to bring him down. It's a small boy's shoe that brought him down. He started to shout at the wife right in the car right there. This is a man who was shouting, there's no mountain we cannot cross. But the devil didn't look for mountain. The small boy's shoe that brought him down. I'm telling you the truth. I don't know how many Christians who are not doing stuff like this. I have no idea. Frowning very easily. I don't understand this. Do you? Frown very easily. Especially when somebody tells you something, tries to correct you. These Christians, we just go off our rockers. Ordinary usher say, move, let somebody sit down. You see a Christian right in church, the face turns. Sister, can somebody sit? What sin is there? I don't understand this. You know, one of the things the devil has done to deceive the church is that the only sin we know is sex. Once it's sexual sin, did you hear? Then did you hear? Did you hear? And they were talking about, the people talking about it are bearing grudge, and it means nothing to them. There are people they don't talk to. They are comfortable with that. They know there are people when they see, they feel bad about it. They don't like the presence of that person. But they are home. And when we say God gives you righteousness, they say no. No. They think they are righteous. I'm telling the truth. Bring money between Christians. Let them deal with money. Give them too much. And see what will happen. They will need help to sort it out. 85% of Christians will quarrel because of money. Just like that. I'm telling you the truth of the matter. Let's not cover this thing. This is a real story. I'm telling you honestly. I'm not talking of backbiting and gossiping and discussing people behind their backs. Once we hear something, somebody did something, whoa, we are megaphone. Did you hear? Nobody asked you. And the devil is using you to disperse evil. Yet the Bible says, speak no evil of any man. Outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, this group, that group, this group. Why not? That fellowship is their own. This fellowship is there. You know, people join fellowship so that when they do things, people will come. Wear uniform for them, that's all. This useless deceit, people deceive themselves. I don't know why we have time to think about deceiving God. We go there so that if I'm doing anything, different groups will come. And they wear a gele. What do you call this one? Different color for me. Let me ask you a question. Other things they're wearing for you is totally useless to God. So unimportant in eternal things. Totally, it has no value, spiritual value whatsoever. Look, whether they are 10 that came or one means absolutely what? Zero. I don't know why people attach importance to worldly stuff that is totally unimportant. I just have no idea. And to them, it's everything. Everything. Carry her back. Check. We're going to fellowship. And God is, the reason you are going is for Igele. That's why you are going there. Igele. So, sister, you people cook for me. Oh. They go to this way. Say, hey, people come. Oh. They go to this group and say, my daughter is waiting. So you sit down, be calculating how much you get from all of them. Look, only God can endure what you are doing. If I'm God, I know what to do. That place you are calculating it, I'll tell you to stop deceiving yourself. Do we think we can deceive God? But we think we can. That's why we do all that kind of stuff. I found out in this life that if you really want to prosper with God, you have to make yourself nothing. If you really want to see the glory of God, you need to be absolute nothing. Just zero. That is, take your, that's whatever you think you are throwing into the garbage. And lifeline say, Lord, only you, only you, Lord. Only you. Then God will raise you up himself and show you great and mighty things. Why people think a girl is anything, you know it's nonsense. It's not important. Where will I start? All these works of the flesh. Envy. Drunkenness. There are a lot of Christians who still drink and get drunk secretly. When a pastor is coming, they hide the whole thing under their bed. Wild parties and other things like this. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit what? But you know, he didn't stop there. That's what I was talking about Paul. Paul will always point the church to Christ. Always. Because he knows that the hope of mankind is only Christ. That nothing will pull you out of that thing except what God has done for you. Where? Christ. He will always point people to Jesus. Always. He said it is at the cross that I was crucified to the world. And the world was what? Crucified. He knew the value of Christ's coming. He knew the place of the cross in his life. He wasn't deceived at all. And so he found his preaching. He said, I preach Christ what? Crucified. He is the power of God to save anybody. So after telling the church that this kind of life is not for them, then he now points them to something. Verse 22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. So he began to show them, but this is what God what? Produces in our lives. Produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Fruit, you can remove fruit and put life. It's the same thing. Produce this kind of fruit in our lives, or this kind of life. Number one is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, 23. Gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things, 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his what? Cross. And did you see where he's taking the church? He said, remember that on the cross, your old nature was crucified there. You see where you see what he's pointing the church to the cross and what was achieved there? That demands Simon. He said, hey, this life is not for you. Those who live this life, it will affect you in your ability to inherit the blessings. But remember that the Spirit of God is producing this thing in you. And don't forget that your old man, the old sinful nature has been what? Crucified. You are not what you used to be. That's what he's telling them. You are not what you used. And this is what we're not preaching. We're not telling people you are not what you. Because if you tell people long enough, they begin to understand it, their life begins to what? Change along that line. No effort at all. No effort at all. So he said to them, those who belong to Christ have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross, crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit now, let us do what? Follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. He says, since we are living by the Spirit of God, by the power of this Spirit, let's endeavor to follow the guidance of this Spirit. What is he pointing them to? The empowerment of the Spirit through Christ. The empowerment of the Spirit through Christ. So you've been empowered. You are not like them. You've been empowered. You can live a different life because of what Christ what? Had done. Are you following me? Are you following me? So when we don't understand these truths of being empowered, how God has empowered us, that this life is produced by his Spirit, the alternative is to try to what? Produce it. And many Christians try. Because that's what they're told to do. They're told to work harder. Do it. Come on. You have to. Come on. If you do this, you're going to hell. Come on. No reference to Christ. No reference to cross. No reference to God. And they want to do things. And Christ said, no. You can do all things only through. No reference at all. None. So they're being encouraged. And it looks religious and sound teaching. Oh, brothers and sisters. But look at the state of the church. You have to preach too much. From pastors to men. Look at the state of the church. Mark 11:29. Mark 11 what? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am what? Meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. 30. Put up 30. 30. Matthew 11:29. Mark, did I say Mark? You are not hearing by faith. Most of you are from Oka, that's your problem. Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke where? Upon you. Let me teach you because I am humble and gentle at heart. Then you will find rest for your souls. 30. 30 now. For my yoke is heavy. Oh, church, come on. My yoke is what? Easy to bear. And the burden I give to you is what?
Light.
So, please look up here. If you are not finding your Christian life easy, you are carrying burden that Jesus didn't give you. If you are not finding it easy, believe you me, you have a burden and it's not from Christ. Let me say it again. If you are not relaxed and having rest, you are not walking in faith. And you will not have victory. Because only by faith you have victory. You won't have victory. Because the Bible says your faith is your victory. How do I know? Because the scripture says that he that believeth has entered into what? His rest. And has ceased from all his stop. Give me your body. Give me. The burdens of trying to live this life you can. Hand it over to me. Then I'll produce it. And if he's producing it, aren't you supposed to be at rest? Come on, church. But that's not the experience of many Christians. More so, if you ever make mistake, the devil will hammer you. So you call yourself a Christian. See what you're doing. And yet, you are not perfect yet. God is still building. God is still working. And to that extent, you still have faults. We go through your way because it hasn't finished. No. And in the same way, you don't throw yourself up. One thing we know is that he that started the good works, we finish it now. He hasn't finished with me now. I know that. I don't deceive myself. I accept where he has walked, where we are. But I know that we're going higher. If you understand me, say amen. Amen. So please, can you please give him the burden address, please? Just enter into his rest. Forget about it. Stop bothering yourself. Stop killing yourself. You know, one sister said to me, say, Pastor, the way. I wasn't even a pastor when I taught this life sentence. He said, I had a dream in the night after I taught this, like I was in a cage. And the cage opened and I flew out. He said, I was so free. Hey, he said, man, I'm like somebody who dropped a heavy load. I said, yeah. Jesus said, don't carry that load. The burdens of life. How to do this? Try to do that. Stop all the strife. For without him, we can do nothing. And he's the one at work. Understand this. Brethren, I tell you, every morning I wake up, I just say, God, you know you're working. I just trust you with my life. I say, Lord, you know without you, I'm a mess. I just trust you with my life. And I know you handle it. And because it's you, I know you succeed. But if it's me, there's trouble. But because it's you, I know you succeed. Because you started this work, you complete. And I just thank him for it. Go my way. I trust him. Amen? Do I get it right? No. But he comes and says, oh, you look, oh, no, you are not. Because I have committed my life into his what? Hand. He said, no, don't go there. Then I come here. He said, no, don't go there. As many times I'm going there. He said, no. Is it not easier like that? I'm asking you. Praise the Lord. And when you fall, when you make a mistake, you go back to him and say, Lord, I missed it. He will forgive you. And once you say, I'm sorry, it's over. He won't remember it. It's gone. You know the only person who remembers it? The devil and you. But God said, I will remember it what? Remember, he's not like us. His heart is not wicked. He's not desperately wicked. He's love. So I delight in mercy. I love mercy. So I delight in it. I'm not a human being like you people. Who forgiveth all your what? And healeth. Why not enjoy it? And stop letting the devil put burden on you. And then human beings put burden on human beings. Praise the Lord. And then Jesus said there, he said, you know, learn meekness and lowliness. You know what meekness and lowliness means? Is to accept that you can't handle it and let him take over. That's a meek spirit. That's a humble. A humble heart is a humble heart that comes to God and says, only you are God. Only you can handle this. Take it from what? That the proud spirit will say, no. Are you telling me you can carry it? No. Let's talk. You know, when I became born again, yeah, I gave my life to Christ, but I want my life back now because I can handle it. Now, if I give it to you, I'm passing up opportunity to boast now and be proud. I'm not telling people how good I am. Wait, I have to. So do you know, if you know me, since I became a Christian, in fact, I have not even told a lie since I became a Christian. You hear all these kind of stories. And let me tell you the point. The point is, people who reject the righteousness of God end up hypocrites. Because they always want to impress people that they are good. I'm not lying. They always want to what? Impress people that they are good. The Pharisees were dying for it. The Bible says everything they did was to be seen of men. Why seen to be seen of men? They want praise. They want what? Praise. So a lot of people want you to see that they are very good now. Hey, so how can it be God producing it if it is God? So why do I take the glory myself? I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Because if it is God, there's no more glory for me. No boasting again. So how can I praise him that I'm anointed and I'm holy? Papa, you can't take that boasting opportunity from you. So I have to impress him somehow. Say, bros, good morning. You know, I have my quiet time this morning. And the Lord is good all the time. In fact, the Lord spoke to me in the morning. And then, you know, I was just having a time with the Lord. You know, that's the way they pronounce it. With the Lord. But if you give me a break, I can't sit down. I don't want to hear that. The Lord. And then the Lord. Every time before you say, how are you? The Lord. Then the Lord, there's nothing else to talk about. Tell my friend, I want to talk about prices of Costco. Have you met people like that? Eh? Come on, talk to me. Yes. Are you one of them? God is, I've seen a lot of them. I see them from Umuokwaka. Are we in the same page? Yes. Do you get what I'm saying? If we're in agreement, say amen. Amen. So now, look at Matthew 23:4. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their what? Fingers. Just listen to most teachings that you hear. It's all burden on you. What you have to carry. And you have not prayed enough. You have not studied the Bible enough. There is enough. You never do enough. It's never enough. There must be something more to do. body. And you leave the church, you look at yourself, you won't work penny. You look at yourself, you think you are going to hell tomorrow. Because of the burden. And those putting it don't what? They lift it up. This is the scripture. It says they bind heavy burdens. New Living Translation. Let me see what it says. They crush people with impossible religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the body. Jesus said, no, I don't put burden on you. I don't do stuff like that. Why? I'm the one that is your strength. I'm the one that bears the burdens for you. He said, be humble, learn of me. Be lowly in heart. Accept your kind. Give it to me. I'll handle it for you. And Paul told the church, he said, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with this yoke of bondage that they are putting, these Pharisees are putting on us. So don't let it entangle you no more. Don't. If you are in agreement, say amen. Amen. That's Galatians 5:1 I read. So when Paul teaches the church that they should live a righteous life, he doesn't teach it in terms of religious burden. After teaching them, he points them to Christ, through whom that life, what? Is lived, so that they know that he's walking in them. He carries the burden, so they relax in him, they trust him. They're coasting along, and God is doing what he came to do in our lives, because he has empowered us by the presence of his spirit in us. Somebody say amen. Now, you see, when we do not produce this fruit of the spirit, like we're saying, when we don't produce this type of life, it's either we are trying to do it ourselves and it becomes an impossible task, and we have all these anger issues throwing tantrums everywhere, and we have all these things, and you know, we do these things and nobody knows, and we hide them under the carpet, and we see people, we act King James. I'm cracking jokes with somebody about this King James thing. So we act King James type. You know what I mean? Bros. I used to do that with my wife. Remember, honey? Yeah, I used to do that. We carry our report, life center report. We submit it, and we stand like this. Bro, how is your life center? Sir, we're doing well. We've just quarreled, and it didn't bother me. I didn't know any better. I thought that those trying to belong or conform was the important thing. So, and after I did it before our leaders, we go back to the car going home. The quarrel will start where we stop. No, where we stop. That'll be chapter 2 of the quarrel. I mean, I was a baby Christian. I knew nothing about loving people. I never had anybody teach me that the key thing is to love people. I didn't know that. I didn't know the Spirit of God could produce this thing. I had no idea. I thought that wanting to win this argument was so important. Brethren, ignorance is serious. I didn't know that was foolishness and childishness. But now, by the grace of God. And it was my wife that taught me. He said, why do you want to win an argument? He said, you want to win an argument, you can lose a soul. I said, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. He said, why don't you aim to win a soul and lose an argument instead? I said, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And it's only love that does stuff like that. Praise the Lord. You see, the Spirit of God is not producing that love. There's the extent where you can endure something, your spark. Am I telling a lie? You spark immediately, even when you look around and the place is conducive, nobody's watching. The brethren you used to conform to are no more there. Man, you become real. You know, if some people use the language, is it because I'm a Christian, you don't know me? I'm telling you, am I telling a lie? Abba, you don't know me. Look, let's teach the real stuff and stop all these hypocrisies. Let's be real, because Christianity can be real. You can have a life, whether in your bathroom, whether you can have this consistency. You don't have to have this home one, market one, job one, one. All different personalities all over the place. So if we're not producing this thing, church, listen to me. The one reason is ignorance. Because we don't reckon with the Spirit of God. Many Christians are not conscious of the fact that they have been empowered and the Spirit is working in them. No. We wake up and live our life like, I want to please God. And it's a good one. Oh, I want to be a Christian. Oh, wonderful. But do you have the ability to? Because if we can do that without Christ, why should Jesus come? We go ahead and do it now. But Paul said, I live every day trusting in him, conscious of his work in me. He said, I'm dead. You know how a dead man acts? He said, what you see is Christ at work. Every day, that's why I live my life. And you can see the progression of the Paul's life from where he was raw as a Christian. You could see to when the man was growing in love. Talking about, you know, he said, when I was a child, childish things. You know, when he grew in love, man, it was sweet to watch Paul. This man who will say to a man, you will see the daylight because of opposing the gospel. With the same man who was writing to Corinthian church, of all the insult they gave him, he was calling them dearly beloved. The sense of God. Go and read the language. It's a different language. He said, is it I don't love you? He said, God knows I love you. He said, but the problem is you don't love me. He said, enlarge your heart for me. Oh, praise the Lord. That is a life that the Spirit of God is producing. Stephen, they threw stones. Pam, pam. He knelt down and said, God, please. Don't put this thing what? That's, you can't do that kind of thing. It's the Holy Spirit that produces that kind of love in our life. So now, if we're not doing that, because we're not conscious of what the Spirit is doing, look at the Corinthian church when they were in immorality. They were in immorality because it was a carnal church. And you do understand that the evil in the society will creep into the church. Am I right? Because people who come to church come from where? Community. So it creeps into the church. So Corinth was at that time full of this kind of thing. So they crept into the church. Now look at what happened. 1 Corinthians 6:15. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? You see, brethren, you always watch Paul. He will always point the church to Christ. What the Spirit of God is doing there, what is done for them. He said, know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? He said, God forbid. So they didn't remember. They didn't know. So their problem was ignorance. And he says, what? Know you not again that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, said he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know you not again that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have from God, and you are not your own? 20, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. What's he telling them? He wrote them, he said, there's a spirit that works in you now. You don't know the Holy Spirit lives in you to produce this thing. You've been joined to Christ. You become one with Jesus. He said, that's why you're behaving like this. Because my people perish for what? Yes. Let me tell you something, brethren. The testimony of Christ is the truth. It's the truth. The Bible said, you shall know this truth. And it will what? And that's the testimony of Christ, is giving them the truth. The truth. It works, but when you know it and believe it, when you know it and believe it, the Spirit of God makes it reality in your life. You know what faith is? Faith is making substance the things that we are hoped for. Now, it's not the things you hope for in the sense I used to think. It's the things that God promised their fathers. They hope for. They hope for. If you read the book of Hebrews, it said, they look forward to these things, but they didn't obtain the promise. They hope for it. When Jesus came, it was fulfilled. Can I hear amen? Amen. So it is substance of things what? Hope for. Our fathers hope for it. But now it's with faith. And then what is faith? Faith makes a substance of those things that we hope for, which is not fulfilled. It produces it into reality. It becomes substance, what you can see with your eyes. That's what faith does. It becomes an evidence of things what? Nothing. It says, faith produces what you don't see and make it real. So you see, it becomes real, becomes evidence that that thing exists. Produces. So when you believe the testimony of God about Christ concerning you and what the Spirit of God is doing in you right now, then the Spirit of God will work out that thing in your life into reality. Do you get what I'm saying? He will work it into in your life into what? I'm telling you from experience, that's what it does. You'll be so surprised how your life will transform from inside, and this hypocrisy will stop. So the Spirit of God gives us this revelation about this truth. Quit the Corinthian church, being a carnal church. Remember, they were carnal church. They didn't know much. They were taking milk, and the result was all these things they were doing. So it gives you revelation of the wisdom of God and the knowledge which is in Christ. You know, I said it on one Sunday here. If you want your communication with the Holy Spirit to be enhanced, you've got to focus on Christ. Let me tell you something. What he really wants to teach you is in Christ alone. Because in Christ is all the treasures of what? Wisdom. Church, talk to me. In Christ is all the treasures of what? Wisdom and what? Not, and it is that mystery of God that the Spirit of God wants to unravel to you. It is that mystery, hidden. That's what he wants to. Moses didn't teach it, didn't know it. It hasn't happened. But in Christ, what is hidden? Divine plan, divine way out, divine empowerment, incredible move of God in Christ is hidden. But it's shown to those who want to know. So in Christ is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and what? Knowledge. Oh, church, come on. Of wisdom and what? Knowledge. So if the Holy Spirit wants to reveal things to you, is it not in Christ, those things that are hidden in him, that will unravel? Is that not the truth you are supposed to know? And when you know that truth, it will begin to work in your life, set you free from all these anger tantrums, all these things. It's a process. The more you know it, the more you believe it, the more it's working. The more you know it, the more you believe it, the more it's what? So he comes to reveal Christ to us. In 1 Corinthians 2:7, oh, my time is almost up. Man. Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:7. But are you getting anything at all? Yes. 1 Corinthians 2:7. No, the wisdom we speak is of the mystery of God. You see what I'm talking about? Which is in Christ. Is the mystery of his plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory. You see, the reason he will reveal that the mystery in Christ to you, reveal the wisdom, the treasure, the Holy Spirit called it treasure of wisdom and knowledge. The reason is that knowledge is made for your glory, not for your shame. To take you from a place of shame and place you in a place of what? Glory. In every sphere of life, business, private life, family life, every sphere of life, that thing takes you, pulls you out of shame and brings you to glory. Praise the Lord. So he said his plan was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, or nor mind has imagined what God has what? Prepared for those who love. Remember that this is a mystery. That's why no human being can imagine it. But the Holy Spirit empowers you by revealing it to you. Oh, Jesus. It said in verse 10, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. That is in Christ only. Now, 11. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own what? Spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit. So we can now know the wonderful things God has freely given to us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us. Where are we? Using spiritual words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive this truth from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? Somebody shout hallelujah. So he begins to reveal to us the mysteries, that wisdom, the wisdom of God, the gospel. The gospel, the details of it, how God in the gospel empowered you and says, hey, I have destroyed the power of sin on the cross. Did Moses teach that? Okay. He said, hey, remember what Paul told the Galatians? He said, you should remember that the passions of your sin has been crucified, what? Christ. These are the mysteries that the Spirit of God is revealing to all of us. So that you can't fear sin no more. Because what you fear will overcome you. You can't fear sin no more. Because sin in your life has been what? Crucified. And he says, sin shall no more have dominion. You must believe these things. I don't care what your present experience is. But if you believe, you rise up. If you don't believe, you go down. You believe, you what? You rise up. Because if you believe, it works. He that believes has. God has done it, like healing and all these things. God says, I've done it. But if you don't believe it, that's it. As simple as that. Then you start trying to handle these things by your power. You can go to some distance. But when they put real pressure on you, you succumb. Praise the Lord. Do you know that many people, if their wives will write about them, if you read it, you'll be surprised. Is it the same person? Because there are some things we do inside, nobody knows. The same thing with some women. If their husbands will write about them, you're like, are you serious? Is this the sister I see in church? So, for instance, we have new abilities because the Lord Jesus is in us. We can do all this. I didn't hear you. We can do, have you had Christians who complain they can't do this? I've tried my best. Eh? I've tried what? Where did God tell you try your best? God says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You can say, through Christ I can do this. Praise the Lord. And then, you know, the mystery of the high priestly office of Jesus that he's holding right now for us and his advocate for our sins, that if you sin, there's a way out. God still has a high priest that is ministering before the throne of God and is doing that on our behalf, so that be based on the sacrifice of Christ that our sins can be what? Forgiven. Some Christians don't like it. They really don't like it. They want you to say that they will all go to hell. Sir, they are not going. Sorry, but they are what? Okay. Not after Jesus died for them. And they asked in the scripture, what must I do to be saved? They told them, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. How? And then you come and add your condition. That's not the Spirit of God talking. That's not the Spirit of God talking. They are making mistakes because they are not perfect yet. But God is taking them from what? And remember what I said one time. We see in short, we know in short. Is that correct? Now, don't you think that because we are limited in knowledge that our judgments can be wrong sometimes? Come on, church. It can be wrong sometimes. And God knows that. But he forgiveth all our sins. And healeth what? All our sins. Why he's taking us from glory to glory. You are not where you used to be. Amen. I said amen. I said amen. Okay, my time is up. I haven't even gone halfway. I wanted to show you something about how the Spirit of God empowers us in prayer. But let me say it in passing. I'll teach it next time. I want you to listen to me. Do you know the scripture that says, all things work together for what? If you go and read scriptures before it, you find it's hinging on praying in tongues. Yeah. It's hinging on praying in tongues. Because when you pray in tongues, you cover mysteries. And the Bible says, for, because of that praying in tongues. All things what? Go and read it. Because you pray in the Spirit. You pray mysteries. You pray away things before they even come. But you don't pray at all. You don't pray at all. The Bible says you don't have because I beg you people I've been teaching you here. Pray in the Spirit, tell Lord. I do. That thing will transform. Sinadi will tell you, remember? When I was talking about praying in the Spirit and he began, he would tell you his experience. Phenomenal. Phenomenal experience he had. Because the thing that defies your spirit, it does incredible things to you. I pray in the Spirit 99.5% of it. Sometimes I find myself praying this way. I'm not saying to impress you. I'm just wanting to encourage you to do this. Praise the Lord. It will move you higher. When my wife got baptized in the Holy Spirit, let me show you an example. That thing is true. She couldn't stop. She would start praying. She won't stop. She would pray continually. She won't stop. And she would continue. She won't stop. Then they went to church. This thing happened Saturday. She couldn't stop. Sunday morning after service, she was coming home. She was pregnant. And she had another woman in the church with all their children. And they were approaching a very busy intersection. And my car failed brake. And this was Murtala Mohammed Highway. They were approaching it. And if you know how busy that place can be, cars were going. And my pregnant wife had another, with all the children, this car failed brake. Listen to this. And they were helpless. So the car was coming. Immediately they got near the traffic warden stopped all the traffic. Immediately they got to the junction and stopped all the traffic. And the car rolled across. Why is it she could not stop praying in tongues? She was praying mysteries. Because God will let you pray for some things that will frighten you when in tongues. And you pray it away. So that all things will work now. Together what? Because you love the Lord. Praying in the Spirit is a way that the Spirit empowers us and helps our prayer. If you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, I pray with you. You should be. It's a gift from God. You don't have to wait for it. It's all yours. Amen. I'm done.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org where you can listen to other teachings freely or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.